Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. A special welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. Please, everyone, take a moment and locate the red pew pads, sign those, and pass them along. Help your neighbors as needed to locate those as well. Today is a special day here at First Presbyterian Church. We're pleased to have with us the Reverend Dori Halmerson, who is our mission co-worker from Honduras. Dori is in the States this fall on itineration, which means going around to churches and presbyteries and telling stories about what it is that she does in Honduras and what the church is doing in Honduras. And so we're pleased to have Dori here with us today to hear a little bit more about Honduras. You hear me tell stories about Honduras, but I think sometimes they go in one ear and right out the other. But today, hopefully, will be a little bit different, and we'll get to hear some things that are happening in Honduras and get to know Dori a little bit better, too. We've been supporting Dori prayerfully and financially for a number of years as she's started in this ministry, and so we're pleased that she is here today. A reminder that lunch is served after worship in the fellowship hall, so please plan to stay. It smells very good. You'll be able to have soup and sandwiches and dessert as well, so everyone is invited to stay for lunch today. There are some announcements in the bulletin, things that are happening this week. And so please take note of those as they pertain to you. You'll note in your pew racks there are yellow envelopes for the Presbyterian Women's Birthday Offering. The Presbyterian women here at First Church have decided that today is the day that they will have the receive the birthday offering, which is one of their main mission offerings. And the reason why we are receiving the birthday offering today is because earlier this year, the Presbyterian women from here at First Church gave $1,000 towards to the Presbyterian Church in Honduras so that the Presbyterian women could purchase a retreat center in Honduras known as Villa Gracia. It's where our mission teams stay when we go to Honduras on our different trips, our house building trips and other trips. And the National Presbyterian women at the national level gave a lot of money, $100,000, so that the Presbyterian women in Honduras could purchase this property. Other churches, other Presbyterians kicked in some money, including the PW here at First Church. So the PW here decided that today would be an appropriate day to receive the birthday offering this year. So please use those yellow envelopes in your pew racks if you would like to support the birthday offering today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it as we worship God.
Thank you.
Please stand as we worship God together. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
The kingdom of God is like a tiny mustard seed.
It grows into a great plant with many branches. To hear and to forgive than we are to pray and to confess. God hears us, God knows us, God loves us still. In penitence and in faith, therefore, let us pray together, confessing our sins. Holy and triune God, we confess that we have not lived for your glory. We judge by outward appearances, but you see what is in our hearts. We look down on small things, but you know how they will grow. Forgive us, God of grace. Teach us to live by faith, trusting in the vision of your word and the promise of a new creation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. Behold, a new life has begun. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
As the children of God, loved, forgiven, wanted, God has a word for each of us today in the scripture, in the prayer, in the sermon, in the hymn. There is a word for you today. So let us now pray together that we hear it, believe it, and we do it. Let us pray together. Startle us, O God, with your truth, and open our hearts and our minds to your wondrous love.
Speak your word to us, silence in us any voice but your own, and be with us now as we turn our attention, our minds, and our hearts to you. In Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Our first lesson comes from the 17th chapter of Ezekiel, verses 22 through 24, found on page 724 in the Old Testament of your pew Bible. Thus says the Lord, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, starting with verse 26. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So where is this kingdom we were promised? In both stories this morning, in Ezekiel and in Mark, we're promised an enormous tree, an enormous plant, providing nests and safety, homes for every type of bird. Not just one type of privileged bird, not just one race of bird, every type of bird. And these stories sometimes frustrate me because I look around at the world we live in today and I see inequality, I see injustice, I see difficulty, and I want to ask God, where is this kingdom you promised us? Your prophets and your Messiah have told us a story that I am finding hard to believe. In Honduras this past summer, it has been a little bit difficult to live there. We experienced the 10-year anniversary of a military coup. Doctors and teachers have been on strike. Taxi drivers and bus drivers have been on strike. University students have marched in the streets against what is widely seen as a corrupt administration who controls everything from the courts to the Congress to the presidency. Things in the U.S., I know, have not been that easy this summer. We've experienced here mass shootings, an election cycle that contains more vitriol and hatred than I've seen in my life. Where is God's kingdom? Both of these stories draw on similar imagery, but one is prophecy and another is a parable. The Ezekiel story explicitly explains that the image of the cedar tree being planted on a mountain refers to the line of David being restored to the throne. On the other hand, the two parables that Jesus tells, in neither case is a cutting from an old plant, but the kingdom is grown from a seed, an entirely new creation. Ezekiel, on the one hand, is writing at a time when Jerusalem has fallen, the Israelite people have been exiled to Babylon. Ezekiel interprets the exile as a punishment for putting their hope in worldly kings. The only one who can truly replant the tall cedar of the chosen people is God. In the two parables, as with all parables that we hear in Mark, we have more questions than answers at the end. In one parable, the seed that is scattered by the farmer is grown by the soil itself. The farmer doesn't seem to have a big role other than sleeping. What does this mean for us? And don't think that the harvest at the end is only a message of joy. The sickle points to other biblical images of harvest, of judgment, of separating wheat from chaff. In the mustard seed parable, the image of the broad shrub providing homes for all of the birds of the air seems to invoke the image of Ezekiel's cedar. God is promising to restore a kingdom, but what is our role in this again? And in our modern times of uncertainty, unsafety, where is this kingdom we were promised? God's sovereignty and presence in the world is far more complicated than these parables seem to indicate. There are no pat answers. All parables call us to examine our world with new eyes. Jesus turns on its head the prophetic promise of a grand cedar springing up from a mountaintop. The kingdom of God is like that cedar, he seems to be saying, but it is also as mundane as a mustard shrub in an everyday garden. This kingdom we were promised is all around us, if only we would look. I'm a facilitator for theological education and leadership development with the Presbyterian Church of Honduras. The church is small and young, with only 28 congregations, and the oldest of those congregations will celebrate its 60th anniversary this month. I see a stained glass window that says this church was founded in 1757, so you've got a few years on us. The way this church has grown most recently has been to adopt independent and already formed Pentecostal churches that are sometimes abandoned by the missions or the pastors that started them. The congregation remains and seeks a more connected church community and asks to join the presbytery. As you can imagine, this often creates some strain. I have heard many times church leaders ask Pastor Juan Rodas, the presbytery moderator and my mentor, why do you always adopt these communities that are at the ends of the earth, that are so poor, that are so far away, that are so difficult to get to? He almost always answers that question with the story of the churches in El Horno. El Horno means the oven. It's an ironic name because it's on the top of a mountain and it's very cold. El Horno, the churches at El Horno and El Sute, which are near each other, were started about, 25 years ago by another denomination's missionaries. They worked to evangelize the community that already had a Catholic church, but they established a Protestant church, two Protestant churches in these small communities. The communities have a few hundred families. They're mostly subsistence farmers. They also farm coffee as a cash crop. They are so remote that the transmission lines that cross the mountain that they're on the top of don't actually connect to the community, even though they were promised, because the communities wouldn't be profitable. They aren't worth the investment of connecting them to the electricity. The churches, Juan and his father-in-law, Edin, started visiting those churches about 20 years ago. He would walk 6 or 7 hours up the mountain to reach the communities that are unreachable by anything but a 4x4 vehicle or a mule. He would stop along the way and learn how to cultivate coffee from the farmers that were in their fields. Because he used to be a tailor in a former life, he occasionally became a sewing machine repairman. He talked with community members about their needs, about the life of the church, and he generally was a pastor to the community. Eventually, these two congregations solicited to join the presbytery. At the time, the presbytery was about a dozen churches. They were centered in a large city, far away from these remote communities. The presbytery as a board decided that they didn't have the resources to permanently attend to these small communities. And Juan and Edine went back to El Orno for what was to be the last meeting with their friends. And at that meeting, they got the story of how the other denomination had founded the churches, had evangelized the community, and then had eventually moved on to other things. And in asking, because the people of this community are mostly of Lenca indigenous descent, Spanish is actually their second language, they asked Pastor Juan what this meant. They said that when the other missionaries had left, they had told him, "No son rentables, you are not profitable enough to join our denomination." Of course, Juan, who has a tender heart, weeps when he tells this story. He says, "They were asking me what it means to be profitable, and I couldn't bring myself to tell them what profitable means." And when he got back to Tegucigalpa, he rather sheepishly told the presbytery board that they had welcomed two new congregations into the presbytery. What? That's not a very Presbyterian thing to do, to go against what the board has decided. Since in those 20 years, the churches of El Orno and El Sute have become a shining example of what it means to be a church in community in Honduras. About 3 years ago, in partnership with U.S. Presbyterians, the community began installing solar panels to have the first light bulbs light in the community. The first light bulb went in at the Presbyterian Church, and the second light bulb went in at the Catholic Church. And since then, they've been installed in homes without regard to which church the family belongs to. With the coming of solar panels and electricity, the church was able to build a water purification system. And in the 2 years since that has been running, the incidence of childhood diarrhea and parasites that can be fatal to children has gone down to nearly zero. The church stood in solidarity with peasant farmers who were in danger of losing their land, of being kicked off their land that is technically public land. The government was going to take the land that they had farmed for generations for timber production. And the church, in standing with those families, was able to negotiate a settlement with the government. Juan's answer when we ask, "Why do you go to these unprofitable places?" is always, "We are not called to go where there is profit. We are called to go where there is need of love. We are called to go where there is need of love." Tony mentioned the Presbyterian women of Honduras who have started a ministry of a camp and conference center. Most of the donors to purchase this center and to improve it and to start this ministry have been from the U.S. The only Honduran donors have been the women themselves. From the profits that they receive by hosting groups like Tony's and like others from the U.S. and internal Honduran groups, as well as their own Presbyterian conferences, they tithe their profits and contributed about $150 per quarter to that fund to purchase the property. It was like a mustard seed. They told me when we decided to do this, it's like nothing compared to $100,000 from the PCUSA Presbyterian Women $150 is like nothing. It's like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, that through faith grows and spreads and becomes a place of hospitality and warmth and welcome for all the birds of the air. The kingdom of God is like a spreading tree planted amid injustice and strife, and this tree does not stop the scorching, burning sun from beating down on the earth. But it does provide shelter. It does offer salvation for all. Every time we encounter these expressions of hospitality, welcome, shelter, community, that is where the kingdom of God is. And to put our hope in worldly rulers of any sort is folly. Our hope lies in the Lord God alone. And to find God's kingdom in the world, we must go where there is love.
The chance to affirm what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
We come into prayer together now as the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that we are your people, the work of your hands, and the sheep of your pasture. In your steadfast and enduring love, you claim us and you call us. We give thanks for that call, for the joy of being part of your work in this world, for the risk of living differently, for the burden of walking the way of the cross in love and in service, for our common identity found in you. We give you thanks this day for those you have placed in our lives as teachers and friends to provide companionship and wisdom for the journey. We pray for our loved ones from whom we are separated by distance or circumstance. We pray for those whom we have marked as enemies, offering prayers for your love in all circumstances and remembering that in your mystery, Lord, you love us all. God, we know in your calling is the command to do justice. And so we pray this morning for those whose life is daily a struggle, whether in Honduras or the Bahamas, California or Houston, Carlisle or the Congo. We pray. We pray for all those in this community and the community at large who are in need of work and cannot find it. We pray for those who struggle daily to find adequate food and shelter. We pray for our national and local leaders who are in need of wisdom and for generosity to extend the blessings of freedom to all people. We pray for those who are sick, those in the hospital, those who know the ongoing certainty of disease, and for those who await relief in the form of surgery or test results. We pray this morning for those whose hearts grieve the loss of a loved one, those who are in need of comfort and assurance in the face of death. We also pray for all those who are feeling lonely, depressed, anxious. Pray, give them courage to face this life. God, marked as your people, having heard your call, and standing on the threshold of our current lives and the promises of our lives as lived in you, we admit we are afraid. The obstacles seem too large, the tasks too big, the risk too much. So we shrink from the promises of your future, limiting our potential and the potential of those around us. Those around us who would like to have carefully constructed borders and meaning and purpose of this world. But through your living word, we continue to hear these reminders of a better way. Help us risk being your people, following your better lead for us, you who give us a new place, a new mode, a new self, a new way. Stir us beyond our fear into the abundant future you have planned for your kingdom. Use us. Use us in our gifts of your newness that pushes us beyond all we can say or imagine. We pray this in the name of the one who broke through all those conventional barriers to give us new life, the one who taught his disciples to pray, and we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have a chance now to offer to God ourselves, our time, our talent, and our treasure. Please remember to give generously as you have been given, and also the birthday offering envelopes that are in the pews. Will the ushers now come forward? Thank you.
together, let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, from whom comes all that is good, we praise you for your mercies, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has borne with us, and your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and to be thankful for all your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The kingdom of God is like a tall cedar, and the kingdom of God is like the smallest seed. Go where there is love, and there you will find the kingdom of God. And may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.